From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Curran. It is my great joy and pleasure to come again with God's Word. And we turn today to Matthew chapter 13. I wish to read some verses in that chapter, beginning at verse number 47. It's a little parable that we have here, and the Lord says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." The theme of this parable is easily discerned. It is a theme that clearly shows to us that the Lord is dealing with men with regard to the end of time and speaking to them about those great events that will come upon this world when the Saviour returns. There are three lines of thought that we see in this parable. There is the thought of separation. It says in verse 49, "The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." The word for sever means to separate. And therefore the Lord is saying that there will be a separation at the coming of Christ, a separation between the wicked and the just, a truth that is taught in many places in the Word of God. We must notice that this separation is inevitable. The words here in verse 48 are important. It says, "Which when it was full, they drew to the shore." And the thought here is of a time when earthly affairs will come to a fullness, to a peak. And one matter that will reach its climax is the great program of God in the gathering in of sinners, the bringing of the lost from the world, from the nations, into the gospel net. And when that net is full, we are told, then things come to a close. This is the end of the age, when the number of the saved will be complete. And this inclusiveness, of course, takes in all things, all the realms of man and earthly affairs. They do not run on indefinitely. They come to a peak. When that climax comes, then it is inevitable that the separation between men will take place. We find, therefore, that the Lord is pointing out so clearly that the great day of separation will arrive. It will arrive suddenly and unexpectedly as far as the ungodly are concerned, and they will be swept away to judgment. Sinners need to learn that they cannot get away with sin and sinning. The history of this world is replete with examples of God stepping in at various times to deal with men, speak to men, and bring before them their judgment. We think of the flood in the days of Noah. We think of what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. And down through biblical history as well as world history, we have all these examples of the Lord moving and the Lord intervening and bringing about the great separation. It is inevitable because sin comes to a fullness and to a peak. And then God steps in and brings about this severing between the wicked and the just. We notice as well the instrumentality of this separation. It says, "The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." By the instrumentality of the angels, this separation takes place. We find that angels are associated with the great redemptive acts of Christ. They were present at his birth, at his temptation. They were there when he suffered, and then at his resurrection, at his ascension, and they most certainly will accompany the Lord at the time when he returns, and what we have in this parable is fulfilled. Now, as we think about the instrumentality of this separation, namely the angels of God coming, we're shown something of the supernatural nature of the separation. The angels will act as the agents of Christ, the judge of all the earth. In Matthew 24, 29 to 31, we see the supernatural essence of all that will take place. We read there of the Lord sending his angels with the great sound of the trumpet to gather his elect from the four winds and bring them home to glory and to heaven itself. Now, men may mock at these matters, but how foolish and how futile for fallen man to mock the Christ of the supernatural. The supernatural has always been demonstrated by God time and time again down through world history. The Lord has intervened, as we've already seen. He has come to deal with nations and kingdoms. He has brought them crashing down. He has brought an end to all things at various points. And therefore, there is no doubt that he will do so again at the coming of the Lord at the last great day. And his angels will be sent forth as the instruments to bring about this separation between the wicked and the just. And it will take place in a flash, in a moment of time, because the supernatural will then be at work. There's also here the sovereign nature of this separation. The angels will come as sent by Christ, the appointed judge. No man will be able to resist the separation unto judgment. The Lord's voice, the Lord's trumpet, his angels and all their flaming fire will come and will draw men away to judgment and perdition. And it will be infallible, this separation, a separation of the wicked from the just, which means that infallibly there will be this discernment of the one from the other. Notice here that the wicked are said to be among the just. They are in the midst of the Lord's people. It reminds us that the saved and the unsaved mingle together in this world, in life, in churches, in homes, in families. But the Lord knows those who are his. They are the just. They are justified through faith in Christ's blood. They are not the wicked. There's a difference in heart and in life in that they love the Lord and they walk with the Lord. Furthermore, the Lord is not fooled by the wicked being among the just, signifying that some hide there, so to speak, as if to escape the eye of God. But they cannot evade that omniscient discernment. They cannot hide themselves, conceal themselves from the mind of God. Therefore, this separation is also infallible. Think today about these matters, this great separation that will take place at the end of time. Ask yourself the question where you will be in terms of which side you will be on. Will you be with the wicked or the just when the severing comes? Where will it leave you? So there's separation here. There's also condemnation. It says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. Now these words set forth the wrath and indignation of God that will come upon the lost at that great day. The reference to the furnace of fire is to the abode of those who will be lost as they come under the condemnation of Christ the judge at the last day and are banished from his presence. Having stood at the last judgment at the great white throne, of this we read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 to 15, and the terms there signify the resurrection of the lost, their bodies being brought from death or the grave, their souls been brought from hell, which is the word Hades, as in Luke 16:23, with reference to the rich man who died, who was buried, and then his soul was in hell or Hades. And now in Revelation 20, we see the soul being brought from Hades, united again with the body, and the sinner standing for final judgment, then to be condemned to the furnace of fire, to the lake of fire, to everlasting perdition and judgment. Here in Matthew 13, in a previous parable, it says in verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. This term is used as a description of hell itself, to denote that hell is a place of condemnation and damnation. In Matthew 23:33, Christ speaks of the damnation of hell. And the word for damnation also means judgment. So, in the place called hell, there is the infliction of damnation or judgment. It's in view in the reference to fire. Literally, the words here in Matthew 13:50 read, the furnace of the fire. Often the Lord speaks of hell's fire, Matthew 9:43, or Mark 9:43, it says, into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And therefore the fire is real. This is not figurative language. Rather, it is setting forth the actual punishment of God on men for their sin. In that final state of things, the lost will be fitted for the everlasting burnings. As complete persons in body and soul, they will be cast away eternally into that lake of fire, forever beyond all hope, their damnation final and endless. So there's separation, there is condemnation, and then finally, there is desolation here. Notice the last words of verse 50, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And these words speak of the hopelessness of men. They will wail in hopelessness and in despair as they're confronted with the returning Christ to realize that they are beyond hope. And yet they will gnash their teeth, which signifies hardness, setting themselves against the Lord. There's no repentance in hell. Lost sinners continue in their impenitence throughout eternity. What a fearful sight. What a need there is for you to get to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. And may you go to Christ right now, lay hold upon Him, and trust Him with all your heart and with all your soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.